أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، حبيب قلوب الصادقين، أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين، واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين. My condolences on this night, the night of the 10th. Everything is happening tonight. Inshallah, Allah will give us the opportunity to be at a night like this, be at the haram of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, inshallah. I find it disrespectful to speak on this night, kind of, but at the same time, I feel that Allah and Imam Hussein's satisfaction lies in this. Let me talk about different things, educate ourselves more and more, so we don't make mistakes the way sometimes we see mistakes are made. People speaking, saying different things sometimes that are shocking. On the member of Abu Abdullah sometimes. This comes from a lack of education, a lack of Islamic literacy. Inshallah, we're going to try our best to educate ourselves, to grow more, so that we don't make mistakes like this. We've had enough mistakes like this in the past. Ashura and the likes of Ashura happened because of mistakes like this. Inshallah. As I said last night, we're going to move towards practice more. We set some foundations of Tawheed regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one that Imam Hussein gave everything for, that we wanted to get to know a little bit more. It was mostly theoretical, but last night we started getting a little more practical. Tonight also is going to be, inshallah, practical. And since it's the night of Ashura, I chose a topic that's kind of more relevant to the night of the 10th. And it's going to be practical, inshallah. If you remember, some of you who were here, a few nights ago we talked about how whether or not someone can say all non-Muslims or all non-Shia will be punished, will go to hell, can be held responsible by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We talked a little bit about this a few nights ago. That's one side of the coin. Tonight I'm going to talk about the other side of the coin now. There we talked about how even if someone has good deeds, but if they're not Muslim, they don't have the condition of Islam, or they don't have the condition of Iman, as the ahadith say, and they are not Shia to Ali alayhi salam. There we spoke about that. Even if they have good deeds, what happens to them and so on? And the answer was, you can't say necessarily that just because someone's not Muslim, they will be punished forever. It depends on the amount of responsibility they have. The flip side is, what if I am Shia? Muslim, Shia, Muhib of Muhammad and Al Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. But now my report card, when I look at it, it's full of bad. Is this enough for me now or not? Can you see how it's the exact opposite of that now? That the question we addressed a few nights ago. We have this side of things as well. And now we have out there this ideology that yes, that's enough. And I'll point to some of the reasoning for that. Yes, it's enough. We don't care about non-Muslims, non-Shia, what happens to them. But if you are Shia and lover of Ahlul Bayt, that's enough. You're good. If we are weeping for Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, we're good. I don't want to judge. I'm just going to go to the sources, inshallah, to see what the sources are telling us, what our understanding is telling us, what our understanding of Tawheed tells us. Right here, someone should be able to conclude that no, it's not enough because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought us here for growth as we address this topic a few nights. If Allah has brought us here for growth, we have to grow. The Quran, the Ahadith don't tell us that all of growth lies in this. Some growth does, but not all of growth lies in this. This Tawheed that we gain through these nights should be enough to address this. But I want to talk more specific because of the reasoning and the arguments that are sometimes put out there. So in reality, the question, this is what the question is. We know the hubb, the love of Ahlul Bayt, the love of the Prophet, the love of Allah. We know it's necessary for salvation. But is it enough or not? This is the question. Now right here, they will stop you and they will say, I don't think anyone out there believes that it's not enough. That it's enough, excuse me. Yes. But in practice, you see the opposite sometimes. The night of Ashur, for example, which is a night where if throughout the year you have not been praying Salatul Layl, this should be a night that at least you have Salatul Layl in this night. You will see, you will find that you don't see this that much. Yes, this is a night that we will spend in mourning and lamentation for Abu Abdullah. But this is a night that Abu Abdullah spent in worship. So are we going to have at least some worship in this night or not? At least, this is a sign again. This is not a good sign. In practice, we see this. In practice. Although in theory, sometimes people will say, no, we don't believe. Of course we don't believe in that. Anyway, what's your reasoning for if you are Shia, you're good to go? Muhib of Ahlul Bayt, you're good to go. Don't worry about it. Sometimes you have reasoning for it. Sometimes you have ahadith for it that are cited. Reasoning. And then we'll have answers, inshallah. It's not, in parentheses, let me say this. It's not that we want to get back at some people or prove them wrong. No, we want to see what the haqiqah and the truth is according to the sources. Very simple, objectively. We can't approach the sources subjectively. Impose what I want onto the sources. No, the sources tell me what to do. Allama Tabatabai rahmatullah alayhi says, lots of the tafasir out there are not tafsir, they are tatbiq. In other words, they are imposing what science tells them, what psychology tells you, what different sciences tell you, imposing what they tell you onto the Quran. When you go to the Quran, you say, yeah, this verse is talking about this. No, no, you're supposed to go to the Quran empty-minded, blank, see what the Quran tells you. Not that you impose. Same thing here. Hadith have to be approached like this. Anyway, before we get to the hadith, sometimes a reason is put out there. Do you want a reason why? If me having bad deeds or, you know, making mistakes and so on, but I love to have the love, if this is not going to do anything for me, then what good is being Shia? What good is there in the love of Ahlul Bayt and the Ahlul Bayt pushing for this love? What is there? What good is there? If being Shia is enough, then what good is it? I, out of all the people out there in the world, have religion, this person will say. I have deen. I'm not an atheist. I believe in God. Out of all the religions out there, I have chosen Islam. Out of all the madhahib, I have chosen Ahlul Bayt. And the madhab of Ahlul Bayt. So I've done something here. All of these stages. Alhamdulillah. So this isn't going to do me anything? This is how some people look at it. Inshallah, we're not like that. Okay, this is your reasoning. All right, we'll address it. He says, no, I have more. I have a hadith for you. Hadith number one. The Imam says, is religion anything other than hubb and bughd, love and hate? If you have love, you have religion. And hate for the enemies of those of Allah. Right? This verse, this hadith is saying, هَلِ الدِّينِ إِلَّا الْحُبْ وَالْبُغْضِ. Is religion anything other than love for Allah and His awliya and hate for their enemies? Is it anything other than this? Yes, this hadith in its absoluteness is telling us this. That religion, this is what it's all about. That means if I have this, I'm good. If I don't have this, I'm no good. Hub and bughd. Another one. The famous hadith, when Imam Sadiq tells his companion that, do whatever you want to do, but we fear for you. Don't worry about your akhirah. We'll take care of your akhirah, the Ahlul Bayt. We'll do shafa'a for you. I fear for you, O Shia of mine, O followers of mine. I fear for you when it comes to the barzakh. This is a famous hadith. And in its absoluteness, you can conclude, judging and based on its absoluteness, that it's enough to have the Ahlul Bayt so that you are set in your akhirah. Of course, this hadith has a problem right here for this person who is relying on it. Right here it's saying, barzakh, no guarantee. Brothers and sisters, sometimes we forget the barzakh. Barzakh might take hundreds, thousands of years for us. Barzakh is harder than this life, longer than this life. The stuff that happens in the barzakh, when you enter the barzakh, it's a new world. New things, new creatures, hardship sometimes. And we're not going to have respect for ourselves. Even based on this hadith, let's just assume that akhirah is taken care of completely because of me just being Shia and lover of Ahlul Bayt. The barzakh, the Imam is saying, we fear for you for the barzakh. When they're putting you in the grave, we fear for you right there, we fear for you. They say some of these souls, when they take the hadith, say them, when they're burying the body, the soul is screaming, don't take me to the grave. He sees what's waiting for him. The Imam is saying, I can't guarantee that for you. So even this hadith can't be used completely. But anyway, let's assume. In its absoluteness, it is proving this point. أَلَا مَنْ مَاتَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّ آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ صلى الله عليه وآله مَاتَ شَهِيدًا. Whoever dies with the hub of the Ahlul Bayt and the family of the Prophet and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله has died a shaheed. And what better way to die as a shaheed? This also is proving the point in its absoluteness. It's saying whoever dies, whether they have good deeds, whether they have bad deeds. Of course, the hadith didn't say it explicitly. And I'm going to go back to a principle I talked about a few nights ago. The hadith doesn't explicitly say, through the wording of the hadith, that if you're good or bad, if your report card is full of bad deeds, it's still good. In its absoluteness, it says this. Please pay close attention. We're dissecting these ahadith here. There's a difference between something implying something through the wording of it and something implying something through only the absoluteness of it. Sometimes your dad says, son, go buy me some meat. Meat means camel meat, cow meat, chicken meat, whatever. Meat is meat. Any one of these forms of meat is meat. He didn't tell you, go buy chicken meat, camel meat, or cow meat for me. If he had said it like that, then you would be good. So if you go, based on him telling you, I want you to go buy me meat, only meat. You go buy meat, you come home with camel meat. He might have the right to tell you, why'd you buy camel meat? You said, Dad, you said meat. Meat is any one of these. He says, I know. But you know how we don't eat camel meat usually. We eat cow meat and chicken meat. But Dad, what you said was absolute. This is meat or is it not meat? Yes, it's meat. I know it's meat. But look at the context a little bit more. Here also, it says, man mat, whoever passes away with the love of the Ahlul Bayt and the family of the Prophet has passed away a shaheed. This in its absoluteness implies that good or bad. But we have these three hadiths, we have a very more important one that I'll get to. Before that, recite salawat and move forward. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Running out of space. It's the night of Ashur, so let's get as many people as we can, inshallah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali.
And on the sister side too, if this is the case, please move forward. We're going to probably have to do this again. Alhamdulillah, the Majlis of Abu Abdullah. So we had three hadiths so far that in their absoluteness implied. We're running, we don't have room on the sister side. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Sisters, please move forward. These three hadiths in their absoluteness implied that if you're good or bad, you're good to go. You probably know what I'm going to get at here already in their absoluteness they're implying. But we have hadith also that isn't in its absoluteness putting its finger on the you being Shia equals you're good to go. No. Explicitly, it puts its finger, whether good or bad. And it's a famous hadith. And it says, حُبُّ عَلِيٍّ حَسَنَةٌ لَا تَضُرُّ مَعَهَا سَيِّئَةٌ وَبُغْضُهُ سَيِّئَةٌ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَعَهَا حَسَنَةٌ. Okay, this is better. This is a good hadith to work with here. It says, the love of Ali alayhi salam is a hasana that no bad can affect. No bad can get rid of it. What does that mean? That means if you are a muhib of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, you're a lover of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, no matter how many sayyat they are, it's not gonna harm at all that which you have. This hadith is a good hadith. In the sense that it can be used as an argument. Can be used. What about those other three? Those were also good in their absoluteness. But we're going to move on to hadiths now that will counter this. And once again, as I said, we want to be objective here. We want to see what Ahlul Bayt want from us. We don't want to leave this world thinking that we're good to go, and then all of a sudden we're surprised and shocked after we leave this world, in the fact that we were mistaken, apparently. We don't want that to happen. We don't want the akhirah to be compromised. Anyway, based on this reasoning that if I'm going to be Shia, it has to do something, it has to make a difference. If someone's going to have bad deeds, I'm going to have bad deeds. He's not Shia, I am Shia. There has to be some difference. And that is that I will be on the other side, I'll make it. That was the reasoning. We also had a hadith for it. Some are absolute. One of them also was, and there probably will be more too that are also explicit. This package is the reason for this claim. And to be honest with you, I'm trying to prove. I would like this to be true. So we're going to it objectively. We want to see if that is the case or not. Before I go on though, this means that if someone proves this, hopefully if we can prove it, this means that action doesn't hold as much value as we think, and rather it is the love and hate that holds the value, what makes the difference, what tips the scales on the Day of Judgment. Right here, I have to say this now. I don't want in any way to compare this with what I'm about to say. One tear for Abu Abdullah is better than all the stuff that I'm about to say. But this is very similar to the Christian approach that God, when He sent through the Old Testament, He had the Old Testament with the people, and they didn't live up to this testament, this covenant. What happened? God said that, you know what, man, you'll never make it because you don't listen to my law. You don't adhere to my law. for you to reach salvation, because there's no way for you to reach salvation, you're not living up to the law, there's another, I have to go through, and we have to have another testament, the New Testament, which is that God has to come down Himself and be sacrificed, so that people don't have to reach salvation through acting upon the laws of God, but rather they acknowledge His Lordship and Him coming down, sacrificing Himself. You have to believe in that though, and have love for that, and you will reach salvation. Actions are not what gets you where you want to get to. Of course, once again, I'm going to repeat, I in no way want to compare Abu Abdullah and the mourners for Abu Abdullah to this. This is batil. There's no way close to this. I kiss the hands of the mourners of Abu Abdullah. Every single tear that comes down, according to hadith, can extinguish the fire of Jahannam. Once again, not because we're doing something big. Abu Abdullah did something big. Allah has respect for what Abu Abdullah did. What I'm trying to say is that it'll be something like this. Now, let's see if this is the case or not. So that argument, the package that I said, and there's, of course, there's more reasoning too. We have to be fair when we argue and hear both sides of the story. There's more probably, but it'll be along these lines. Now let's see what the answer though is though. Going to the sources now. I came across a line from Shahid Mutahhari, and you have to give credit where it's due, and I really liked this. That reasoning that was presented first that goes, what's the difference between me and the others? If I'm doing bad, they're doing bad, I'm Shia, he's non-Shia, but there's no difference, we're going to all be held accountable. He says, if we want to see the difference, if you want to see the difference, look at the positive side, not the negative side. What do I mean? Don't ask yourself, what's the difference between me and others when I do something negative and bad and they do something negative and bad? What's the difference between me and them? I'm Shia, they're not Shia. There's got to be a difference. Don't ask it like this. Ask it like this. When I go by the guidelines of Ahlul Bayt and I am a good person, what's the difference between me and a non-believer of the wilayah of Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam, who knows the truth? I have to add this clause based on those nights before, those previous nights. Who knows the truth but does not acknowledge, turns his back on the wilayah of Amirul Mu'mineen. A hater of Ahlul Bayt, a Nasibi, who happens to be a good person. Me and him have the exact same good deeds in our report card. What's the difference between me and him? There's a very big difference. You have the condition for the acceptance of your a'mal. He doesn't. Shahid Mutahhari, he puts it like this. He says, look at it from that side. Not this side. That's what they came for. If you don't believe this, if it's not convincing, let's look at this example. You go to the doctor, you have an illness, your friend has the same exact illness. You gave it to him. You both go to the doctor, but not the same doctor. One is known, out of every 100 people who visit him, 100 are cured. This guy is number one, this doctor, this physician. Your friend goes to the worst doctor out there. Out of every 100, 0. 1 or 2. The guy just started practicing his medicine. You know what I'm? You can guess what I'm getting at here. He goes there. You goes here. You go here. In other words, he goes to other than Amirul Mu'minin. You go to Amirul Mu'minin. So you've both gone to the doctor. You come back home. Your physician has given you a prescription. His physician has given him a prescription. Bad physician has given him prescription. Good physician has given you a prescription. You guys come home. He doesn't do it. He doesn't take that prescription. You don't take it either. Can you turn around and say, there's got to be a difference between me and him. I went to the right physician. He went to the wrong physician. Can you say that? Or will the world laugh at you? This is the wrong picture that is sometimes painted for us, that we don't need the guidelines of Ahlul Bayt. We need them to live a good life and so on. It's good, all that, but what really counts is something else. No, we were brought here for this purpose, to live a life within the boundaries. That's what makes Islam so cool. It's well-rounded. It addresses everything. From the most insignificant things to the most significant things, Islam addresses them. In fiqh, they say that there is not one issue, one action that doesn't have a fiqhi ruling. If you're going to sneeze, Islam will have one of the ahkam al-khamsa regarding it. Islam addresses it all. This is the wrong approach. This approach gets closer to other schools, other traditions, other faiths. This is Islam. We're proud of it. This is how we live. So that argument goes to the side, that this is enough. What's the difference? No, that's in the positive, not in the negative. But then someone will say, what about those ahadith? Okay, this is important now. Because usually, ahadith are cited, ahadith are relied on. If an alim relies on a hadith, it's good. A great alim. There was a time where imama meant credentials, it meant qualification. When you would see it, you knew that there is some ilm here. It's interesting how we know certain people that are wearing it, that go on the minbar. We know their personal lives, even how they were. And they on the minbar say, yes, there are ulama out there that are not qualified. I know you. You haven't studied for more than 2 years. And these people, they will start relating ahadith. Ahadith is good. Hadith is good. But if we're going to determine the boundaries of deen, we have to be very qualified. This person says, ahadith we have for hub being enough. And those ahadith were presented. What's the answer to that? Well, the ones that were absolute, the answer is that those ahadith were covering this case, this question of a bad person when it comes to action, but good in ideology because he is Shia, and a lover of Ahlul Bayt, and a mourner for Abu Abdullah Hussein. Those ahadith covered this person, applied to this person who has a very bad report card, but in their absoluteness, they applied to this person. So if we have more specific hadiths, more explicit hadiths, that put their finger exactly on the case where someone has bad actions, but also has love of Ahlul Bayt, and says something about this case in particular, these will have precedence over the absoluteness of those ahadiths. This is very important. This is like lesson number one. This is a child's play, this what I'm saying right now. We can't base precepts of the deen sometimes on the absoluteness of a hadith or two hadiths or 10 hadiths when there are others explicitly, in particular, putting their finger on the same issue and telling us something else. Of course, this is an ongoing discussion. Some might claim that there are also ahadith specifically that will contradict what I'm about to say. That's okay. This is something academic, intellectual. We have to sit down. We have to discuss. Fine. But I'm just going to relate to you what the ulama say. Of course, the ulama, when they say something, they've seen both sides of the story and now they're passing on a judgment. I'm not doing it here for you. Others have done this. Others have done the scholarship of this. We have a hadith on the other side that are very explicit. So, the ones that are explicit, they will override those other ones that are absolute. But that last hadith that we had, it was very particular. The hadith that said, the love of Imam Ali alayhi salam is a good deed, is a good that no bad can harm. That's explicit. That's specifically touching on a person like this that has bad deeds, but he has love of Ahlul Bayt. And as I said before, the lovers of Ahlul Bayt, we respect, we love. The mourners of Abu Abdullah, we love. The stories we hear of the ulama, how they would take the dust of the feet of the mourners of Abu Abdullah and gain shafa'ah. How Allama Tawatabai, he would go to the haram of Fatimatul Ma'suma, salamullah alayha. He would take the dust at the entrance of the haram for tabarruk. They would say, do you want us to bring the dust that has settled on the actual grave of the lady Fatimatul Ma'suma? He said, I am not worthy. Keeping all of these things in mind. But at the end of the day, if we're going to determine Islam and Islamic boundaries, There is no compromising. We have to go objectively to the sources. Anyway, let me read to you some ahadith on the other side. I don't know how much time I'll have, if I'm able to finish this or not. The hadiths go like this. One by one, I'll go through them. And they're interesting hadiths. One of the companions of the Imam goes to him and says to him, there are some who they consider the harams not to be haram. And they say that the religion equals ma'rifah. Just to know that this is your imam and so on, that's enough for you. So do whatever you like. After you know the imam, do whatever you like. The imam, he says, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he says, inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. تأول الكفر ما لا يعلمون. He says they have misinterpreted. They have done a false ta'wil of what has been said. That's not what we said. That's not what I said, the Imam is saying. إنما قيل اعرف وعمل ما شئت من الطاعة فإنه مقبول منك. If it is said, this is how explicit, this is how particular and specific this hadith is. Says, when I said, have ma'rifah of the imam, know the imam, acknowledge the imam and the wilayah of the imam, do whatever you like, you're good to go. What I meant was, do whatever you like of ta'ah and obedience of Allah and ibadah, because if you do, since you have the condition for the acceptance, it will be accepted from you. This is what I meant. فإنه مقبول منك لأنه لا يقبل الله عملا من عامل بغير معرفة. Because Allah doesn't accept from someone who does something without the ma'rifah of us Ahlul Bayt. In other words, it's necessary, but is it enough or not? No, it's not enough. And then he goes on to say, if someone does all the good deeds in the world and fasts the whole life and stays awake all the nights and prays and so on and so forth, but doesn't know his Prophet who brought these fara'id, who brought these rulings, these wajibat and muharramat, he brought them, and doesn't know his imam of his time, that Allah has made it wajib on you to follow, then his amal will not be accepted. This is what I meant. People who are doing haram in a way of, as if it's halal. What's wrong? Why are you doing haram? No. Listen, when it comes to Ahlul Bayt, if you have love of Ahlul Bayt, these harams and stuff, it doesn't really matter. He says, the Imam says, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. This line is said when something bad happens. He says, what I meant, this is what I meant. Why don't they come and ask me? Why do they misinterpret? The Quran even cries out against people who misinterpret it. Ibtigha al-fitna. The Quran says they will go to those verses that are not very clear and they'll make judgments based on those. Why? They're after fitna, they're after misinterpretation. false interpretation of the Quran. Another hadith. قيل لأمير المؤمنين عليه السلام من شهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله Imam Ali was asked, if someone says the shahadatain, is that enough? Now here the Imam, he doesn't say, well, where is iman? Where's the shahada of wilaya? Of course, from other ahadith, we know this is also a condition, but this is what's important to the Imam, for the Imam. The Imam wants to make sure we don't miss this one. Right there, he cuts him off. Kana mu'minan? Is this person mu'min? This person is asking the Imam. قال, فَأَيْنَ فَرَائِضُ اللَّهِ Where are the fara'id of Allah? Where are these duties and obligations that Allah has set for us? Where are those? Are you counting those or not? If you're not counting them, what? What does that mean? That means that you don't have the iman. You don't have the iman. Iman is conditional on this. Not Islam. Iman, here the Imam is saying. So you'll say, wait a minute. In the ahadith we were told that iman is for those special mu'mineen that have wilayah of the Ahlul Bayt. Muslim is a person who doesn't have wilayah of Ahlul Bayt and certain rulings pertain to them. We were told this. Apparently you are adding a category here. The Imam is saying even iman isn't, being Shia and Mawali of Ahlul Bayt isn't enough. You have to have action as well. Fara'idullah has to be there, or else iman isn't there still. If you're surprised, the next hadith also says this. And we have other hadith. I don't have time for all of them. There's a longer hadith. I'll just use the excerpt that I need. فَالْإِسْلَامُ قَبْلَ الْإِيمَانِ The Imam says, وَهُوَ يُشَارِكُ الْإِيمَانِ فَإِذَا أَتَى الْعَبْدُ كَبِيرَةً مِنْ كَبَائِرِ الْمَعَصِي أَوْ صَغِيرَةً مِنْ صَغَائِرِ الْمَعَصِي الَّتِي نَهَى اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ عَنْهَا كَانَ خَارِجًا مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ أُصُولُ الْكَافِي The Imam says here, he says, Iman, Islam, yes, we have all of this, but if someone commits a kabira and or a saghira even, they have left iman, he says. We thought being Shia is enough. We're objectively going towards the sources, brothers and sisters, once again. Because we wanted to prove the first side of things. But we have a hadith here that are saying, no, it's not the case. So that hadith, which was saying, this is a good حب of Imam Ali alayhi salam is a good deed, is something good that nothing can harm, no bad can harm. It's going up against these ahadith. Another hadith. Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Al-Iman, this is also al-Kafi. Al-Iman iqrarun wa amal. Wal-Islam iqrarun bila amal. We were told always that wilaya of Amirul Mu'minin equals Islam and Iman. Shahadatain without wilaya of Amirul Mu'minin equals Islam. This hadith is saying iman equals iqrar wa amal, meaning that you believe and you have amal, action. You act upon what you have to act upon. This is what iman is. Yes, if you're lacking in the amal part, you're Muslim, you're Islam, you're in the same boat as others. You're Islam, but you don't have iman. And that the hadith ends. I'm just relating a hadith here. Look at the number of these ahadith though. And I couldn't put all of them here. I didn't have enough time. And we don't have time to even read them here anyway. An al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, shi'atuna. This one is important. We have some ahadith that say, you're not mu'min, you're not Muslim. But some people will argue that we have hadith that shi'a equals jannah. Fine. If shi'a equals jannah and the Ahlul Bayt are telling me shi'a equals jannah no matter what, if the Ahlul Bayt in other ahadith define for us what Shia means, that means we can't take our definition anymore. We take Ahlul Bayt's definition. If you have a word in Quran, if you have a word, a term in ahadith, you go by the normal definition. Unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or Ahlul Bayt say, this term has a special usage. Then we move, we shift to the special usage. We have a hadith that says Shia equals this. So if Shia equals Jannah and Shia equals this, that means this equals Jannah. Balls are round. Every round thing rolls. So balls roll. We take out the common grounds in each of these premises. We take it out. This equals that. A equals B. B equals C. A equals C. Shia goes to Jannah no matter what. Shia equals this. That means this goes to Jannah. You see? This equals Shia. Shia equals Jannah. We drop the common grounds in both of these premises. We're doing a little bit of logic here. So that equals that. A equals B, B equals C, A equals C. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says, Shi'atuna ahlul wara'i wal-ijtihad. Our Shia doesn't sit back and lay back and spend hours and hours upon hours wasting his time, sometimes sinning. No, he has wara'. He stays away from that which Allah has made haram on him. Wal-ijtihad, he struggles hard for Allah. Wa ahlul wafa wal-aman, and it goes on and on and on. Till the end of the word, the hadith, and it goes like, and it ends like this: وَيَجْتَنِبُونَ كُلَّ مُحَرَّمٍ. They stay away from every muharram, every haram act. Yes, if they slip up, other hadith, other verses say they're not supposed to give up. If they do tawbah, كَمَنْ لَا ذَنْبَ لَهُ. It's as if they don't have a sin. See how we have to put everything together to look at the entire picture? Someone will say, okay, so I'm not Shia anymore. That means no one's Shia, because you have to be ma'sum to be Shia. Because if you do one, yajtanibuna kulla muharram, every sin they stay away from, we're all sinners. That means it's over for us. No, we have other hadith. They put all of these together. If you do tawbah, kaman la dhanba lah. Like you don't have any sins. You got to put all of these together. This is what the scholars are doing for us. We learn from them. And then someone comes up and base it and takes the measuring stick as his ideology, his understanding of deen. His emotions tell him what to do, what not to do. He uses that as the measuring stick to do takfir of some of our ulama. What's your reason that this alim doesn't know what he's talking about? Because we have hadith for this. That means Imam Sadiq said this. That means I have to either follow this alim or Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Look at the fallacy. An Sadiq alayhi salam aydan. Innama shi'atu Ali. And this is an interesting hadith. He says, verily, the shi'a of Ali is this. Innama shi'atu Ali man affa batnuhu wa farjuhu. He has chastity. He doesn't let haram go in his stomach. وَاشْتَدَّ جِهَادُهُ. Struggles in the way of Allah. Gives it his 100%. عَمِلَ لِخَالِقِهِ. Works for his Lord. Actions. وَرَجَاءَ ثَوَابِهِ. Or رَجَاءِ ثَوَابِهِ. لِرَجَاءِ ثَوَابِهِ. He wants the rewards of his Lord. وَخَافَ عِقَابَهُ. And is scared of his punishment. فَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ أُولَٰئِكِ. If you see these people, فَأُولَٰئِكَ شِيَعَةُ جَعْفَرْ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. The Imam starts that the Shia of Ali is this, but he ends with, if you see these people, these are the Shia of Ja'far. Shia of Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam equals the Shia of Ali and Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam. But these are the conditions. These equals Shia. Shia equals Jannah. But what if I fail? What if I commit a sin? At-ta'ibu min al-dhanb kaman la dhanb lah. Qul ya ibadiy alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim la taqnatu min rahmatillah. Inna Allah yaghfiru adh-dhunub jami'an. I forgive all sins. Not only do I forgive all sins, I change them to hasanat for God's sake. Two more hadiths. I know I'm tiring you, but there's a reason why I'm going through the number here plays a role. Once we want to put these hadith next to these hadith and choose a side. Another hadith, I'm just clipping that part out where I need لا تذهبن بك المذاهب فوالله ما شيعتنا إلا من أطاع الله. Our Shia is only those who obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that's the purpose of creation. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ وَأَنْ يَعْبُدُونِ هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ إِنَّ رَبِّي عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. Talked about these previous nights. And finally, in a hadith where Imam Baqir is speaking to Jabir bin Abdullah al-Ansari, يَا جَابِرْ لَا تَذْهَبَنَّ بِكَ الْمَذَاهِبِ حَسْبُ الرَّجُلْ أَنْ يَقُولَ أُحِبُّ عَلِيًّا وَأَتَوَلَّاهُ فَلَوْ قَالَ إِنِّي أُحِبُّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ مِنْ عَلِيٍّ ثُمَّ لَا يَتَّبِعْ سِيرَتَهُ وَلَا يَعْمَلْ بِسُنَّتِهِ مَا نَفَعَهُ حُبُّهُ إِيَّاهُ شَيْئًا. This is more explicit even and more specific than that hadith that said the love of Ali عليه السلام is a good that no bad can harm. This is even more specific. Very specifically, he says, if someone says that I love Ali, and or even says I love the Prophet because the Prophet is higher than Ali, the Imam is saying, but he doesn't follow his seerah, his way of life, his fara'id that he brought down. ولا يعمل بسنته, doesn't act upon his tradition, لا ما نفعه حبه إياه شيئا, it will do him no good in any single thing for this person, no good at all. Now this is absolute, meaning not in this world and the hereafter. We just want to be objective here. We want to see what the sources are saying. We want to see what Ahlul Bayt are saying. We want to make sure that we don't go on the other side and we're like, wait a second, it was all wrong. Why? What happened? Well, we stayed away from our ulama. لَيْسَ بَيْنَ اللَّهُ وَبَيْنَ أَحَدٍ قَرَابَةٍ. There's no relations and relationships and family ties between Allah and anybody. The Quran says in the hereafter, لَا أَنْصَابَ بَيْنَهُمْ. And the hadith goes on and ends. Now, there's lots of other points, I'm just skipping them. So what do we have here? We have a great number of ahadith that are very specific here. Some of them are defining what a Shia even means. We have to reconcile between these hadiths and those hadiths that say hope is enough. How do we reconcile? Most of them, brothers and sisters, those ahadith that say love is enough, mourning is enough, they are in their absoluteness implying this. These ahadith are very scary, the ones that I just read. Very, very specific. So what? How do we reconcile? To reconcile, you say that those ahadith that are saying that the love is enough, they're saying that this yes is necessary. It's a condition. But is that enough or not? No, it's not enough. It's not enough. Because these ahadiths we have, most of them from Al-Kafi even. And this is all over the place. Don't say, why are these contradicting? These ahadith were issued different contexts. The people that are listening, that are speaking to the Imam, different people and so on. We have to, as I said before, put them all as if one Imam said them at one time in one room. How would you reconcile there? For example, in fiqh, we have La salata illa bi fatihatil kitab. There is no salat. In other words, no salat is accepted except that you have the Fatihatul Kitab in it. Surah Fatiha has to be recited, or else this salat is not accepted. But then all of a sudden you have another hadith. لا تعاد الصلاة إلا من خمس. Salat is not repeated, doesn't have to be made up except in five situations. And in those five situations, none of them says if you miss the Fatihatul Kitab. And that's why the Maraja, what do they say? They say if you accidentally miss the Fatiha, you go to ruku' and you remember, oh, I didn't do my Fatiha, you're good. You don't have to make up the salah. But there is a hadith that says, there is no salat illa bi fatihatil kitab. I've done my homework. Doing homework and reading isn't enough. Opening the books isn't enough. So, when we get closer and closer to Ashura, if we are real Shia, our ta'ah has to grow. We can't say, this night, don't talk to me. This night, I have nothing to do with scholars. Ubudiyyah. Yes, we will mourn till morning time. This is ibadah itself. The point being, though, is that you're not going to ever say it like that. The ulama, that's the closest thing we have to the Ahlul Bayt. We don't have access to Ahlul Bayt. They're the ones who are able to tell what we're supposed to do through the Ahlul Bayt and their sayings. And then we have Astaghfirullah. Inshallah, we will keep these in mind. Inshallah, let's go to Karbala. Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. I don't know if it's just me, but when you reach this point, you don't know what to do anymore. What is it? You can't be start bicharkunish. When you reach this point, you feel like, what am I doing? Why are we still here? Hussein is gathering the thorns from the desert so that tomorrow the children's feet aren't pierced by these thorns. The companions are doing their ibadah. لَهُمْ دَوِيٌّ كَدَوِيَ النَّحَلِ. They are true Shia. They're doing ibadah. We are Shia too. We are going to mourn for Aba Abdullah for hours, inshallah. I'm not going to get to Imam Hussein. I'll leave that for tomorrow and the maqatil. Inshallah, you will take part in the majalis that are being held. Let's go to Karbala. Let's go to that moment when Aba Abdullah looked around and he sees no one is left. Habib is gone, Muslim is gone, Ahlul Bayt are gone, Banu Hashim are gone, Abbas is gone. Do I not have one more soldier to come and help me? هَلْ مِنْ ذَابٍ يَذُبُّ عَنْ حَرَمِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Ya Aba Abdullah, you might have had one more soldier. If in Medina they didn't attack your home, you had a brother by the name of Muhsin, 6 months. If they had let him live, maybe he was also in Karbala protecting you. But they made sure that he doesn't make it to Karbala. But don't worry, there's one more 6-month-old soldier. Aba Abdullah looks around. Is there any soldiers left? Is there anyone to sacrifice his life for the haram of Rasulullah? There's a little cry coming from the tents. I am your soldier, father. I don't want to stay after you. The enemy says, we saw all of a sudden Aba Abdullah is coming towards us. We know after Abbas, no one is left. But Aba Abdullah doesn't look like he wants to fight. He's coming out with the Aba, the cloak of Rasulullah. He's coming with the turban of Rasulullah. What is going on? Why is he walking a little slower, a little more careful? He comes close to them. He takes out his precious asghar. O mothers who hold your children, don't worry about your children. Asghar gave his life for your children. Don't worry about your children's neck. Asghar gave his. They say Aba Abdullah took this baby so high. People see his armpits. He's holding this sacrifice. I don't know if he's doing this to show the people or he's showing Allah. Can you see Allah? Even my asghar is for you. My asghar is ready, Allah. How are you going to take my asghar? How are you going to accept my sacrifice? Brothers and sisters, Do you know what ended the job of Aba Abdullah on the day of Ashura? A three-pronged arrow. Three-pronged arrows don't pierce. Three-pronged arrows, they slice like daggers. Yaqum, Yaqum, in lam tarhamuni, farhamu hadha al-tifl al-saghir. ألا ترون أنه كيف يتلظى عطشا. Don't you see that my Asghar's lips are opening and closing like a fish that has come out of water? My Asghar is dying. Can you give him some water? As Aba Abdullah was addressing the enemy, all of a sudden, فَذَبَحُوا مِنَ الْأُذُنِ إِلَى الْأُذُنِ. Aba Abdullah speaking to the enemy, all of a sudden, the blood of Asghar comes down on his arm. They slaughtered him from ear to ear. Asghar's head is hanging by the skin. 6-month-old soldiers, this is how they are killed. Aba Abdullah, it's all over. They don't even have mercy for your 6-month-old. Aba Abdullah buries his little Asghar in a little grave. Shi'ati mahma sharibtum ma'ad bin fadkuruni. أو سمعتم بشهيد أو غريب فاندبوني. ليتكم في يوم عاشوراء جميعا تنظروني كيف أستسقي لطفلي فأباه أن يرحموني. ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون.